You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Auckland Mayor Wayne Brown says the council must be involved in any final decision on a second Waitemata crossing, and the number of jobs that will be lost in the Auckland transport restructure has been revealed, a net reduction of 20. For City Counselling this week, I spoke to Councillor Julie Ferry about both of these topics. Here is that interview. I just want to start off by asking about a comment Mayor Wayne Brown made, which he said the council should be more involved in discussions the government is having about the location of a second harbour crossing. Would you agree with this?
Yeah, I actually do, although I disagree with the Mayor's preferred location, which I've talked about on here before, but I do agree with him that it is pretty frustrating that, you know, we have these announcements from central government. We just, on the 10th of April, so just over a month ago, he signed with the Prime Minister and a host of other cabinet ministers an Auckland City deal, first of its kind, which is supposed to mean better partnership. And this is going to be, if it happens, one of the next huge projects for Auckland. And yet, we've got announcements from central government, from one of the ministers involved with signing off the deal, that are a complete surprise to Auckland Council. And that's not in the spirit of the deal, but also it's just really counterproductive for our city. So I agree utterly with his frustration on this.
With the knowledge that you have discussed this on the station before, why do you disagree with the Mayor about the location of a second crossing?
I obviously represent one of the areas that he sees as the landing space or the I guess liftoff location, depending on which way you're driving or moving, which is Point Chevalier. And he sees the opportunity to build out from the Ola Reef. I do not agree with that at all, and it is a little bit frustrating to me also, in a different way, that you know, he is promulgating this idea, but we've actually never talked about it around the council table. He hasn't sought the support of his councillors at all. We haven't had any process by which we have sought advice or looked at it as an option or anything like that. So on the one hand, he's right that government needs to talk to us. But on the other hand, he needs to take a little bit of his own advice there and talk to his councillors. And we need to have a conversation as a council about if we do have a preferred option, which option that would be. That needs to be based on advice. It potentially needs to involve some conversations with the community, and particularly those communities that would be heavily impacted at either side. So for me, Point Chev, Westmere would be involved too. And then on the other side of the harbour, Beach Haven, I think it's Beach Haven and Birkenhead sort of area, some of which is a significant park that, so I think it's Kauri Centennial Park, that would potentially be basically destroyed. And, you know, I'm also not convinced that we actually need a second or third, actually, because we have the Upper Harbour Bridge, but an additional harbour crossing, and I agree with the idea that it should be focused on public transport and active modes, because that's where all the growth has been over the last 20 years. We're moving more people than ever before across the Harbour Bridge, but the growth in people moving is actually the buses. I'm quite agnostic about whether we do actually need an additional crossing, but now we're learning more and more about the shortcomings and limitations of the existing crossing. And I grew up on the shore, my mum still lives on the shore, it's a really important connection to me. So we've got a lot more talking to do here, central government and council, and the mayor with his councillors too.
How does an additional crossing fit into the discussions the council is currently having about long-term transport planning?
Yeah, so we're at pretty early days in terms of, we've signed off on what's called our transport policy statement, which is basically sort of what our objectives and priorities are going to be in a broader sense. And that is then going to in turn inform the next phase of our conversation, which looks at what are the actual projects and programs that we need. Projects being things that we build, programs being activities that we support, right? So we're not quite at that stage yet of having that discussion, but we are moving into that, and that is going to produce, with central government, a 30-year agreed list of priorities, a 30-year transport plan. What we're also in the middle of that makes it a little bit more complicated is this major transport reform, which is bringing most of what Auckland Transport did in-house to Auckland Council. The only thing that will remain separate is the operation of the public transport system. And so there's a lot in flight at the moment in this space, and we're actually spending a lot of workshop time on it, which is the time that councillors and other members of some of our haukoura members from the Independent Motor Statutory Board come together with staff to work out how is this new structure going to work in practice, what opportunities does it unlock, what risks are there, that kind of stuff. So we're meeting on that pretty much regularly in a more informal setting than a committee. We're getting lots of advice, we're asking lots of questions, so that's a big piece of work at the moment.
And I want to switch now to asking about what's been happening with the Auckland Transport restructure and the number of job losses which was recently calculated. Are you concerned about these job losses?
I think we always need to be aware that when council cuts jobs, firstly, those are people. They are Auckland residents. They are people who live in our community. And so there needs to be, I think, sensitivity in the way that this stuff is communicated. And I do get annoyed at some of my colleagues who celebrate job losses, because those are people who have been doing a job for our city. And, you know, they have families and bills, and they face uncertainty, and that's not easy. And I come from a union background before doing this local government work, so I've seen up front how it can feel for people going through restructures. And so I do want to say that up front, that it's important to acknowledge these are happening to people, and those people are Aucklanders, and, you know, that's important to acknowledge. I think what's happening here is a very, what I'm seeing from the way our CEO is working through this, the council CEO and the transition director as well, who's been employed specifically to oversee this stuff, and he's from the New Zealand Transport Agency, Waka Kotahi, so he's a real expert in the transport space, is moving quite sensitively and acknowledging that even though the structure is changing, a lot of the work still needs to happen. So what does that look like? And we've also got quite a short time frame. A short time frame is a pro and a con for the staff who are going through this. It doesn't prolong the uncertainty, but it also means that sometimes when you move quickly, you do make mistakes. And one of the things I'm aware of is that we got to do all of this and have it ready to go now in just less than 6 months by law. And it may be that some of it isn't exactly right first time around. And I'm a veteran of the original amalgamation of Auckland Council. I first got elected in 2010 and to a local board. And the structure of how those local boards were supported on day one, 2010, did not work at all. And over the following couple of years, we saw some significant changes and significant increases and staff to support local boards with their decision making and their role as governors, because it was a unique situation that never existed before, that didn't exist anywhere else in New Zealand. And I think that's one of the things I'm really worried about potentially not having right on day one, because local boards are now going to have a huge increase in workload. They're going to become the road controlling authority for actually most roads in Auckland. We were looking at which roads they'd have responsibility for and which roads would sit regionally yesterday. And it's, you know, going to be a big increase in workload. So My particular nervousness about the restructure is getting it right, the support, the staff, the advice, the skills and expertise, the induction and training that elected members are going to need to suddenly have this new decision-making authority. And in particular, our local board members, we're only 21 out of the, I think it's 150-ish local board members, only 21 of them are currently supported to work full-time. And suddenly they're going to have a big increase in workload, and that needs to be supported by really well by staff. So that's my main area of nervousness.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry on the need for council to be involved in discussions about the details of an additional harbour crossing and the number of job losses in the Auckland Transport restructure.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.